It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
As the Bears take the weekend off, what NFC North game are you watching closest and why? What's the best result from the Bears' perspective? And can you pick the winners of both of the big NFC North contests?
This is a huge weekend in the division. And I think when you look at Lions and Vikings, it might be in a weekend full of big games around the league. Could this be the biggest? Because you've got a Lions team that has realistic Super Bowl aspirations being affected by the absence of Aiden Hutchinson. And you've got the Vikings, the only undefeated team left in the NFC, one of the biggest surprises in the league, and they're going head-to-head. So not only does it have Bear implications, it has, I think, league-wide implications. I'm going Lions. I think that's the biggest one, and I think the Bears fans should want the Lions to win. Here's why. I think the Vikings are the team that you want to, or it's easiest to envision coming back to the pack. The Vikings, you could make the argument, are on borrowed time. Sam Darnold can't do this all season long, can he? I don't know that he can be this efficient and at times explosive, even though he does have Justin Jefferson. He just got Cam Akers, Aaron Jones if healthy, all the things. He's got all the things. Brian Flores, great defense, great play caller, and he's attacking. All those things are true. But if the Vikings come back to earth, it's more likely to envision that than the Lions. I think the Lions are going to rally around this cause. Dan Campbell, the power of his personality is going to make somehow them able to overcome this adversity. I think the Lions beat the Vikings, and I think that's good for the Bears. I also think the Texans are going to beat the Packers. Big brother,
whoa,
C.J. Stroud is going to go into Lambeau and have some advice for Jordan Love afterward. Hey, buddy, don't worry. It's going to be okay. We just beat you. It's okay. You're going to be fine, Jordan. You're going to be fine. And then that'll be fun. I think the Texans are going to go into Lambeau,
wow,
and beat the Packers. And on Monday morning, we're going to come in here, and the Bears are going to say, hey, we did nothing and had a good weekend.
Look, come here.
Yeah, I think that's a possibility, David. I'm with you. I'm pulling, obviously, for the Texans. Go Texans. I'm actually pulling for the Lions in this one. No, I'm not. I want the Vikings to win. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I want the Vikings. They're at home. You want them to win. You want them to act like they're the new kid on the block against the Lions. Lions, you know, potentially reeling with the loss of their defensive end, their pass rusher, Ruthie's guy, Hutchinson, right? The Michigan guy.
Yeah. Ruthie's guy. Everybody from Michigan talking about Ruthie's guy.
I do love Hutch.
Tell us about Denard Robinson.
Not anymore. Yeah. Denard Robinson was the quarterback when I was there. That tells you everything you need
Hutch,
to know.
Hutch. But yeah, I can't wait to watch these games. They're both in the noon window on Sunday, so red zone maybe workout, or maybe I get one of those fancy YouTube TVs and get the split screen going.
Oh, we got to talk about that later with Ruthie. Yeah, no, okay. That's a no go for me.
No go.
It's tough.
Not the multiple.
And David
screens.
David doesn't like to go out to a sports bar and watch games either. We found that out yesterday.
I listened. I heard you guys.
What happened to Vegas Haw?
Vegas Haw would like give me one of those maple banana old fashions, I'll be fine. But I just don't need to watch seven games at once.
That's
sorry.
Fair.
Sorry, we digress.
Detroit, Minnesota, I agree with you. I think the most realistic in my brain right now, the most realistic possibility is that the Vikings taper off and come back down to earth. So you're rooting for Detroit, right? Heading into the season, they were the preseason favorite to win the division, let alone maybe the conference. And you just kind of we're expecting them to be as good as they are. With the Vikings, you see them, you see weaknesses, right? Especially on the offensive side of the ball. I think I love Brian Flores. Anyone who knows me knows I love Brian Flores. Covered him in Miami when he was the head coach there. He's able to rally good or average players and get them to play really, really well. Again, I don't know how sustainable that is. I think Detroit's going to win the game. I think Minnesota, it's time. You know, That's the vibe I'm getting there. And then with Houston and Green Bay, I think Green Bay wins this game. Of course, everyone's rooting for Houston here, but I don't have a ton of confidence in the Texans. In 4 of their 5 wins in the season, they were 1-score games. And I just don't know. They slaughtered New England. But Buffalo was a 3-point win. Jacksonville was a 4-point win. Beat the Bears game was a 1-possession game at the end of the game. I just don't have a ton of belief in Houston right now. And so I'm interested to see kind of how they show up at Lambeau and what that looks like. But I do think Green Bay wins that game.
The day I get a positive question from you is the day that I'm going to be happy.
That's Justin Fields. More on him coming up right here. What did you think of the way Justin Fields addressed his status with the Steelers Thursday afternoon?
I don't think I played, good enough, if I'm being real with you. If I'm being real with myself, I think if, I did play well enough, I don't think there would be, any sort of who should be playing, who should not. So at the end of the day, we got a few wins. Of course, I'm glad about that. But, there's areas that, I could be better at. And, I'm just going to continue to work on those and continue to get better.
And did Mike Tomlin get this quarterback situation correct?
This is why locker rooms rally around Justin Fields. Right there. You just saw it. He takes accountability. He's really grounded. He's not delusional. I think he's really self-aware. And I really respect the heck out of that guy. And I think what this says a lot to me about is his relationship with Russell Wilson right now, and also what he's seen from Russell Wilson, maybe in training camp, maybe in the preseason. I think that Justin Fields is very real. We've seen quarterbacks get benched, and I don't know if this is technically a benching. In some ways it is, but I guess if Russell Wilson was QB1 heading into the season, is this
demoted?
He was he's being pushed aside. And we've seen quarterbacks where this happens before, and they say, I believe I did enough to win. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And I believe that my talent will shine through. Justin Fields sat there and he took accountability and he said, I didn't play well enough. And I think Mike Tomlin, did he get it right? How could we doubt that guy? One of the greatest coaches maybe ever. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see what you have in Russ. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see how they use Justin Fields moving forward. Arthur Smith, if you recall, used 2 quarterbacks in the Falcons game against the Bears last year. They used Taylor Heinicke and Desmond Ridder in that game. Desmond Ridder had a couple of packages. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see what Arthur Smith does here.
Excellent.
It could be creative.
Yeah, I think you're right, Ruthie, about the creativity part of it. And I've long been a Justin Fields supporter. I was to the point, keep Justin Fields, trade the pick, build around him.
Yeah, you caved.
I caved. I've come around.
Me
too. I still think it's a decent argument and question. The Bears could at the very least be where they are right now with Justin Fields, maybe even 5-1 with Justin Fields, but they still couldn't be as good as they potentially could be now that they have. That clip is a big reason why. That's not a leader of men. That's not, it's my team. It's my offense. We're 4-2.
But it's not.
He's
a squatter.
And that's the problem. His teammates know he's a squatter. The teammates know he's just renting space. He's not an owner. And he doesn't act like it. He doesn't act like he wants to be an owner. He doesn't even act like he wants to be a renter with an option to buy.
I disagree. I think that he's trying to. First of all, what he is saying is exactly right. This is as accurate.
You don't have to admit it.
This is as accurate as you're going to see Justin Fields. He is right on the money. He is right on the money. And Russell Wilson was brought to Pittsburgh to be the starting quarterback. Football teams and organizations, especially coaches, rarely like to stray from their plan. And their plan includes seeing what they're going to be with Russell Wilson. Football organizations think in terms of ceilings and potential and maximizing that potential. And in the Steelers' eyes, they still can maximize the potential of this season by going to Russell Wilson relatively early in it. You're 6 games in. Justin Fields basically sounded as resigned to his fate as he did because he understands this. He's never been led to believe that he's anything but a placeholder. Now, you may want him to sound like he's a guy that is a leader. I think teammates understand that the way that he plays and the way that he probably sounds in the huddle is good enough because this is a guy who is easy to respect. I think he's definitely easy to respect. I think he's mentally tough more than mentally weak, and that will serve him well because I think he's probably going to be a guy they call on to come back. Russell Wilson, as much respect as I have for him at this stage of his career, unlike a lot of people, I think he had a decent year last year in Denver. It gets overlooked, the numbers that he put together. But I think he's not likely to last this season. He's at the stage of his career where injuries are going to come up. And when they do go back to Justin Fields, I think you heard somebody that will be ready. Even though he may not be saying all the things that you want to. And I just got waved off by Dustin on the Twitch stream.
Doesn't sound like a leader, David. He's a leader. He's got to want to be in charge.
Justin Fields earned the Bears locker room and their respect by leading by example. He was first one in, last one out. He works hard and he wins you with those electric plays. You know, he wasn't playing well and it was disguised by the Steelers winning. He wasn't playing well. It's a lot of what we saw here in Chicago. Missing guys downfield that were open. When he's running, he's not looking to throw like what we're seeing from
Caleb. That's why he's being demoted.
It's why he's being demoted.
Because he has limits
on
what they can do with the passing game.
And I will stand by that.
Yeah, I think it's a good question.
With the Bulls back in action tonight at home against the Cavs, you'll hear it here on the Score, 6:45, the coverage begins. What are you expecting from Lonzo Ball? Anything else you hope to see?
Well, I'd like to see Lonzo Ball play another 15 minutes. I don't think that his 15 minutes are up yet, if you will. I think he's a guy that is playing back-to-back games one day apart, and if he can do what he did the other night, just contribute a couple threes, good floor game, a defensive steal, whatever, on the court, back-to-back games, that would be impressive. I also want to see Matas Bezelis. I want to see him back. I hope that he's healthy enough to come back. I want to see him in the rotation. I'd like the idea of him with Io, Bezelis, maybe Lonzo Ball. You got Jalen Smith, and you're going to go 9, maybe 10 deep. And I don't know if you got veterans like Torrey Craig, Javon Hunter. Javon Hunter, yeah.
Javon Hunter.
You have veterans who I don't know how they fit because they're going to be the odd man out. Talen Horton Tucker is a guy that you're going to see again probably tonight. He's going to make the team, I would anticipate. So a lot of the fringe type things. I don't know how much they plan to play starters tonight, but they were entertaining the other night. They had 7 players in double figures. I want to see Bezelis worked in there and, of course, a little bit more Lonzo Ball.
Well, you just said you don't know how much time the starters are going to play. I'm hoping, David, for 0.00 minutes. I'm hoping for a bunch of DNPs, which got me to do not watch the other day. I want to see Lonzo Ball start. That's what I want to see tonight. I want to see him start. I'm totally in agreement with you. I want to see Bezelis back in there. I want to see Io back in there, but on a minutes limit, that's fine. I don't want to see anybody who's going to start next Wednesday down in New Orleans in a basketball uniform tonight. Be healthy.
Bubble wrap.
Billy Donovan missed practice yesterday with stay home, Billy. It's okay. Listen to the game. Lay in bed. Listen to Chuck. Okay. Listen to Chuck call it. That's just fine. Talen Horton Tucker, start the game. Play every minute, right? Break a massive sweat and play every single minute. Lonzo Ball opens the game in the first quarter, sits the second quarter, comes out for the second half as the starting point guard, and sits down after 5 more minutes. That's fine. That's what I want to see tonight.
When it comes to Lonzo Ball, I think everyone would just like to see some consistency, like that he could do it again. And like we mentioned earlier, I think he'll play a lot more freely, maybe. Just less eyeballs, less pressure. This isn't the first game back, right? Like, this isn't the game. You know, he can go out there, maybe take a little bit more risks, feel a little bit more comfortable, maybe be a little less hesitant in some situations. But if he can come in and be play 16, 15 minutes a game and contribute and make threes and get blocks and a steal and a rebound and an assist, like, that's going to help the team. And I think just finding where that fits is going to be really key. When it comes to injuries and those sorts of things, I feel as though because there are so many new pieces on this team and you're trying to make them all fit together, as you were saying, where do these veterans fit? Like, they're playing with rotations, they're playing with groupings. I do think we're going to see the starters play a little bit tonight. I don't have any backing on that at all, but I'm with you. I hope Billy Donovan's okay. Billy, you could take this one off if you need to.
I've answered this question, a lot, obviously.
The voice of Connor Bedard. What was your impression of the Blackhawks home opener besides Connor Bedard, we just heard from there? After five games, what do you think looks the best reason to watch the Blackhawks?
I think, as we talked about earlier, it was the most complete game that they've played this season, start to finish. The Blackhawks had control of this game. And we mentioned the Sharks are not a good team. I've heard a lot of people compare this group to where the Blackhawks were this time last year. And that makes a lot of sense. I think what's so exciting about this team is putting those veteran pieces around Connor Bedard. We're seeing the no-look pass. There's a swagger. There's a confidence. It's year two. He's not the rookie. And I just think it's going to be really cool to see kind of him take another leap in his growth. What looks like the best reason to watch this team, and hear me out, the power play. I think the way that they're playing on the power play breeds so much confidence. And yeah, maybe you're doing it against a bad team, but again, that breeds confidence, not just in the power play, but how you play the rest of the game and how you play every shift. Five power play goals the last three games, like, that's really significant.
Compared to last year, yeah, it's a huge improvement.
Really significant.
No doubt about it. Good point.
So Nick Foligno's doing a nice job, I think, as the center captain of this team so far, right? He scored some goals. But Teuvo Teravainen, somebody you brought back, right? He was a former Hawk, back with the Hawks, right? And he's been really good so far, and that's another reason to watch him and Bedard. Both of them had two assists apiece last night, so that's good.
I was there the night that Teuvo made his debut for the Blackhawks back in 2015, and it was one of those nights pre-Bedard, in the midst of the heyday, where you still felt like, wow, this kid is special. And he was just a kid coming over, and it was table time. And you couldn't really, Quenneville couldn't pronounce his name and all the things. And then you see him go away to Carolina, traded because of a salary dump, not because of anything else related to that. It was one of those just phases in the growth of a team. They had to get rid of him, and they had to get something in return. He went to Carolina, made himself into a very good player. I love his return. To me, he's as much fun to watch. I don't want to say as Bedard. Bedard is special. He's going to be a handful of young stars in the league that makes everybody want to watch. He's going to be a perennial all-star. But Teuvo Teravainen is easily my favorite Blackhawk, not named Bedard. And he is worth the price of admission right now. So I love watching Teuvo play. He sees the ice so well. And he's such a clever passer, and so that is reason one. I do think, Ruthie, it's a great point on the power play. Teuvo, Bedard, Seth Jones, Foligno, and Bertuzzi, that is a good five. Mm. That's a good starting five on the power play. They make an impact, and they're getting good goaltending. It's just fun to see the Hawks play a game where you know they're going to be competitive, and it's been way too long for us to wait for that.
Terrific question. Need to get that answered. Don't have it for you today.
That's the voice of Bruce Levine. He'll join you guys at 7:25. What do you think happens this weekend in baseball? Where will things stand when we're back here Monday morning? And who will be the player America is talking the most about?
I think we're going to have Yankees-Dodgers. It looks like it's trending that direction. The Yankees fall back to, obviously, a great comeback from the Guardians. Nobody in Cleveland wants to hear it, but it seems like the Yankees, that was the game they were going to lose. They may not lose again. I don't think the Dodgers are going to lose again. Dodgers could wrap it up this afternoon, later in Queens. They play a day game, begins at 4 o'clock Central, Dodgers-Mets. Jack Flaherty on the mound. I think they probably clinch it. Wouldn't surprise me at all. And everybody's going to be talking about Ohtani. Heard somebody who I respect, been around baseball for a very long time, asked me the question yesterday, is Shohei Ohtani the best player in baseball history? It's not a dumb question. It's something to consider. And I think that's going to be the World Series question. Ohtani and Judge, they've already got the commercials.
Well, they're already like hyping it on social media. Anytime those guys do something on in the game compared to like the other team, it's crazy to see like the difference in the hype that even MLB's social media will put out there. But again, now Judge had a moment yesterday that ended up getting spoiled, right, by the Guardians and Fry. I mean, that would have been like unbelievable. They would be sitting there up 3-0 heading into this afternoon, ready to celebrate in Cleveland. Cleveland rocks for the Yankees. But now at least that's a series. Mookie Betts, though, like quietly, well, he's in the shadows of Shohei Ohtani. Mookie Betts, because he's playing right now in the field, plus he's playing positions like he could be an all-star almost at like every spot, minus catcher. He could be an all-star.
He could be as versatile as David Fry.
But David Fry can catch. Mookie Betts can catch, right? He's not quite the Swiss Army knight that Ben Zobrist is. So I also am all for Yankees Dodgers, but I think we should talk a little bit more about Mookie Betts, a must-see guy getting forgotten about because of Shohei Ohtani.
The Dodgers have 3 wins by 8 or more runs this series, and they've outscored the Mets by 21 runs so far. Wow. They're going to beat the Mets. It's the highest run differential by a team in the first 4 games of a postseason series all time. How about that?
That's crazy. That's a blowout city.
And I was going to bring up Mookie Betts, Dustin, because I didn't know if it was recency bias, but, you know, he's getting hotter at the plate. And I covered Mookie when he was the Red Sox and when he was traded from the Red Sox. And that, you know, my poor husband, who's a Boston native, last night was watching the game and said, man, wonder where you could find a guy like Mookie Betts. And he's just electric. And I think with Ohtani, you know, everyone's talking about Ohtani. The other guys are going to start coming up, and I think Mookie Betts is one of them.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
In college football, who is Saturday's game bigger for, Illinois or Michigan? Who you got, and what are the other game or games you're planning to follow?
I am setting myself up to be pleasantly surprised if Michigan wins this game, but I do not think they will. I think it's a bigger game for Illinois, because I think, as we mentioned, this is Michigan season is Michigan season, right? Like, it is what it is. You lost your head coach, you lost your quarterback, everything's new, and it doesn't look so good. It's hard to watch. I went to the game against Arkansas State, and that was not fun to watch, and we won the game barely. It was ugly. And I just think that Illinois has so much more to prove here. This is a game that they don't typically win, but it does feel like they're playing for something special. It's a huge game for them at home, throwback unis, you know, the whole thing. I don't see Michigan coming in clutch here. It doesn't feel like this is a very clutch season for the Wolverines.
Well, David, at 2:30, you're going to have to get yourself multi-screen action.
Okay.
Because you've got Bama, Tennessee.
All right.
You got Notre Dame, Georgia Tech.
Wow.
And you got Michigan, Illinois. Now, here's what I'm still trying to figure out. I didn't go to the guide. Ruthie, maybe you know if you've looked into this. David, maybe you know. I think I brought this up briefly yesterday. One of the listings that I'm looking at, number 24, Michigan, at number 22, Illinois, it's a 2:30 kick on Paramount Plus. Is it exclusively Paramount Plus? Is it on CBS and Paramount Plus? Because if it's on Paramount Plus, that bothers me, and that's just another reason why I feel like I might have to try to get everything done by 2:30 to go out, because I don't like trying to toggle from Paramount Plus over the four-letter network,
toggle.
Over to the ABC network,
tough toggle.
To get all of that,
yeah,
all of that in. But I do think I'm pulling for Illinois. one of the two teams I hate most in college football is Michigan. I think you're fantastic, but I have a couple of fantastic people I know from that have gone to school there. My daughter at one point wanted to go to school there. It was like, let's just, I appreciate that you want to go to school there, but like, let's lower the bar just a little bit. It's almost near impossible to get into the University of Michigan. But the game that we're carrying at 6:45, I mean, how good is number one Texas? Is Georgia the team that everybody had preseason number one, or the team that lost to Alabama who hasn't looked so good? And if the Texas quarterback struggles, is this going to be the passing of the torch to Arch Manning?
Arch Manning.
You know, I mean, is this, yeah, could we have the Arch Manning official coronation on Saturday night in front of everybody where he like comes off the bench and beats Georgia at Texas? Wow, that'll be a game.
Texas will beat Georgia. It's in Austin. I think that's going to be a fun game to listen to and watch. I definitely think that the afternoon slate is full of good games, not to mention Northwestern at home against Wisconsin in the Big Ten.
Well, to your point, David, that's an 11 a.m. kick. So, I mean, you really, it's like really nicely laid out. You can watch Wisconsin, Northwestern, then you get that three-pack at 2:30.
Yeah.
Then at 6:30, 7 o'clock, you got the big one.
Sneaky good game in the Big Ten also. Indiana, Nebraska, undefeated Hoosiers. I think they stay unbeaten. They're going to beat Nebraska. Don't forget about down in the Music City, Ball State goes to Vanderbilt. That'll be a good game. Maybe. Doubt it.
Sure.
Vandy's good.
Hate to break it to you, Dustin. Michigan, Illinois is on CBS. Good. So it gives you one less reason to hate Michigan.
And in that game, I think that Brett Bielema, I think this is the year. This is bigger to them, and it'll show. They are ready for it, and they will win despite wearing probably what will be, I don't like the throwback uniform idea. But despite that, they will win. They will beat Michigan. They will stop the run. They will protect the football, and I think the Illini will be the upset victors over the team that hail to the victors. Sorry, Ruthie, but it's Maize and Blue goes down to the Fighting Illini, ILL.
But now the problem is, David, is that we've all picked Illinois.
Right.
That's true.
We've all picked Illinois.
I know, but that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
You can't win the national championship every year, you know?
Wow.